But in the meantime, a publisher called Pantera Press has put out a fascinating little book. It's part of a series on basically a debate on a big Australia, and this particular one, I think, looks at our population size at the moment, but what's fascinating about it is it has uniquely packaged both sides of the argument. There's a yes side when you're looking at the book front on, you flip it over and it's another front cover and it says no to Big Australia. So the arguments, and there's basically essays, I suppose, is the best way to describe it, written in there, detailing both sides of the argument. Fascinating. The co-author is Oliver Hartwick and he joins me now. Oliver, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Tell me about the motivation for the book.
Well, Australia had a big population debate, of course, over the past few years, starting perhaps with Kevin Rudd declaring that he made no apologies for the big Australia, 36 million by 2050. And I think that was actually one of the starting points, really, of his demise as Prime Minister. And ever since, we've had this debate of how big should Australia be? Should we really grow to 36 million? Can we do anything about it? How can we prepare for that? And that was the motivation for Pantera Press to actually task the two author teams, really, and come up with two cases, one arguing for, one arguing against the big Australia.
Now, how many of you have contributed to this? Because I understand there's a few different chapters, a few authors to this, isn't there?
Well, I've co-authored it with my former colleague from the Centre for Independent Studies, Jessica Brown. Jessica and I worked together at the CIS for 3 years. We have now both since left CIS. But we co-authored a number of reports on the growing population and infrastructure questions. And our opponent in the debate was Mark O'Connor.
Mm. So you've taken the yes argument that we should be bigger?
Well, yes, we have argued the yes argument. We're not actually saying we should be bigger. What we really say in the book is that we will be bigger, no matter what, because a lot of the growth, if you look at the figures, is already programmed in. There's not much we can do about it. Because if you look at it, population size fundamentally depends on how long we are going to live, life expectancy, how old the population currently is, so basically how many years we still have to live. Then about how many children Australian families on average have. And then, of course, also how many migrants does the country attract? Net migrants, meaning we always have to look at people actually leaving the country, people coming in. And if you have all of these factors together, you can basically calculate how many there will be of us in 2050 or 2100 based on different assumptions about all of these factors. And the most likely scenario, if we don't really change anything about policy, if we still have children, if we still accept some migrants, if we still continue to age, we will be around the 36 million that Kevin Rudd actually talked about. And it's nothing to do with the government. It's nothing to do with any kind of policy levers that politicians could really pull. It's just what's going to happen.
Okay, well, this is the third, I understand, in the series. So what were the other two about?
Well, there was one on nuclear power. There was another one on gay marriage. But I was personally not involved with any of them, so I couldn't really summarize their argument.
Okay. Are you planning more?
Well, you would have to ask Pantera Press. I think it's a very interesting format. I think it is good because what the country actually needs is proper debate. And you need to hear both sides of the story. You shouldn't really just listen to one side. And that's actually what we do. We give readers a choice to really read through the arguments. We then have a choice to actually rebut the other side's arguments. It's probably like a real debate, like university schools debates that we all used to. And I think that's nice because actually, depending on what papers you read, one paper might just argue the case for a bigger Australia, one paper might argue against it. There are very few people in the country who actually read two papers or three papers and therefore get a variety of views, and I think we're trying to do that with this book.
Do you come out any the wiser? I mean, if you read it cover to cover, flip it over halfway through and then read the other side of the argument, are you swayed, do you think, to one side if you were non-committal to start with?
Well, I think we've got intelligent readers. I think they're all able to draw their own conclusions. We are presenting them with the arguments, we are presenting them with the facts, and then we leave it to them to actually come to a conclusion.
Interesting. Any feedback yet? I know it's a new book, but any feedback on it so far?
Well, it's just come out today. We're looking forward to the sales.
I hope
it will sell well. But, I mean, the debate is, of course, topical.
Yes.
And we can see this online. I mean, there was one blog that put it up today, and last time I checked, they already had 157 comments, so it is still a hot issue.
When you were researching, did you come across any information that might change your mind on your position, or have you read the no argument yet and thought, oh, actually, that's a good point?
Well, I actually read the new argument, but I think where I think I differ with Mark O'Connor fundamentally is in outlook. He seems to be a pessimist, and I'm an optimist. I think there's nothing more irresponsible than pessimism. What Mark O'Connor says, and then he makes some interesting points, of course, about infrastructure needs, and I would, of course, accept that. If you've got a growing population, of course you need to build more schools and roads and houses and hospitals. And he says, oh, that's a big problem and we have to spend so much money on that. And I accept that we have to spend money on that. But where I would come in as the optimist in the debate press is just to say, well, look, we're currently standing at 22.7 million people in Australia. And he could have made exactly the same argument at when Australia was 15 million, or when it was 10, or when it was 5 million. So even the first fleet arriving in Australia, people could have had a look around, discovered that there were no roads, no hospitals, no schools, no universities, no airports, nothing. They could have just turned around and gone back to England. Instead, they actually built this country. So this country was built on infrastructure investment. It was built by people who were ambitious, who were qualified, who were skilled, who were passionate about the place. And I think if we've got the same spirit, we can make a bigger Australia work. And that's the real challenge, because it will happen whether we like it or not.
Is he right, though? Is Mark O'Connor right to the degree that state governments have far fewer dollars, it seems, they argue, to spend these days on infrastructure, that that might be a real problem in the future?
That is a real problem, and I think on that point we are quite close, actually, because what we also argue in the book is that we have a big problem, because if you've got population growth, where it actually costs governments, is actually at the lower level, at the local government level, at the state government level, because they actually have to provide all the infrastructure that these extra residents need. But what we also see is that when you have population growth happening, their taxes, the taxes of the new inhabitants, they flow up to Canberra. And about 75% of the extra taxes end up in Canberra and have to be redistributed back down to the states and back down to local government. We think this is a mistake, because we should actually make it possible for local government and for state governments to participate in the extra tax revenue, which would help them to fund the infrastructure that they have to provide.
Good point. All right. I look forward to going through this. I only was handed it earlier this morning. But for people who want more information on the series of books and the books themselves, whyversuswhy.com will provide that. This is Big Australia, Yes and No. Which side is facing up in the bookstores, do you know?
Oh, that's a real question. Probably depends on the bookstore.
Yes, indeed. All right. So it's written by my guests now, Oliver Hartwick and Jessica Brown for the Yes side, and Mark O'Connor when you flip it over to the other side, the No argument on a Big Australia. It looks fascinating. Oliver, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
I hope it does well. The Big Australia, whyversuswhy.com. And that's on the top of the book as well, Why versus Why. You get both sides of the argument in the book. And on this case, Big Australia, as he said, nuclear debate and gay marriage, the other topics that have been covered in the series so far.